Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, Game of Thrones special, episode 4, to coincide with episode 4 of Game of Thrones. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
And we've got another guest, which I'm very excited about. We've got PK in the studio today. How are you doing?
Really well. Nice to be here, Tom and Leah.
Now PK, what we did last week was we asked for a sound effect from you, just a one sort of sound effect to indicate how you felt about last night's episode. I think mine's pretty close to yours, because that one alludes the fact that there's stuff about to happen.
A lot of stuff about to happen.
Yeah.
In two episodes only to go, so there's a lot to happen in two episodes.
You're gonna pack so much in.
Pack it in, Tom. What's your sound effect?
Bloop. That's the sound of Tyrion jumping off a boat.
I knew exactly what that was straight away. Yeah, it was a finishing up, tying up episode.
Yep.
It was a setting up episode, and it was a reactionary episode.
Yeah, we got a bit of the fallout from last week, which was good because we finished very abruptly last week, so it was nice to see the emotional impact. And yes, there was some serious moving of chess pieces, getting things set up for a big battle next week, I think.
And a bit of letting the hair down, a bit of drinking happening, a bit of partying at the start. That went on for a while and leading up to the events after.
Mm.
I heard some people say that the first bit of the episode was quite slow, but I quite enjoyed it because that sort of wake dinner started off very somber, and then the more they drank, the crazier it got.
And did you catch the Starbucks coffee cup?
I did.
That was a bit of a...
That's
revelation.
That's a no-no.
At least we know what they drink. She drinks.
I saw that they did. HBO did reply, and they said inquiries from those who saw the craft services coffee cup in Sunday night's episode. The latte that appeared in the episode was a mistake. Daenerys had ordered a herbal tea, so I think they went the right way. You know, just make a joke out of it. It is what it is at this point in time.
What a goof. So that'll be missing for the Blu-ray release, I guess. Yeah. Maybe even by next week they'll go back and just digitally remove it.
Never existed.
But how does it get through? I don't know how many people in the process of editing and whatnot that would have gone through, but how many people would that have gone through who didn't pick up on it?
And it wasn't like the series was going to come out after a couple of months. I mean, it's been in the making for 2 years. So,
absolutely.
You know, in 2 years you think someone would have picked it up.
That's right. Yeah. They would have filmed that. Or best part of a year ago.
Easy, easily. One excuse I did see was they said, oh, look, everybody was really tired after the filming of the Battle of Winterfell and it just got missed. But people are still editing. They weren't editing in night shifts, were they, surely?
I don't know. They do have production companies that work through the night.
Okay.
So it may have been some difference there. I don't know, maybe everyone's eyes were messed up from squinting last week. Trying to work out what's going to be.
Exactly, in that dark, dark episode, yes.
Mm. Maybe as they were editing it, they were drinking more.
Sure.
As the characters were, so they were quite drunk when that part came.
Well, look, talking about tea and spilling tea, there was some juicy drama happening. I thought that we were going to see some sort of love triangle happen there with Brienne, Jaime, and my boy Tormund. Man, I felt for that guy.
He really, really struck out, didn't he? All along.
And I think everyone watching that has had a moment like that happen to them. If you're like, that hit me harder than seeing a dragon die, was watching a giant red-headed man cry.
And what happened afterwards when, Jamie left the scene, you know, all the girls watching would have said, you know, I've always come across some bloke like that, you know,
should've
comes along.
Yeah,
absolutely. Devoted to you, loved you, you know, and you went for the bad boy, you know.
Do we know if Tormund has left the castle definitely yet? Because Jon has left going south, but we don't know that Tormund has gone. With Ghost.
He didn't even say goodbye. John didn't even say goodbye to his faithful, companion, just said left the scene. What was that about?
I have seen people online saying
they're not happy.
Yeah, that's the act that condemns John. He has to die. Because he wasn't nice to his good doggo.
And he looked so sad and forlorn, looking at him and nothing happened.
I lost an ear for you, Johnny was saying.
Absolutely.
Walk over and give him a pat.
Or at least give him
goodbye.
A wink. Yeah. just to anything. It made me wonder if we will. It really felt like some goodbyes.
Yeah.
But in that little bit, that not saying goodbye to a ghost, makes me wonder if we will see a reunion between those two again.
No.
I don't know why it would happen, but...
Unless Ghost goes to get Nymeria and shows up with a wolf pack to help, which won't happen.
There's just so much to happen in episodes. I just can't see that happening, no.
No, so I think that's done. Look, at least they got to say goodbye to John and us, as you know.
Yeah. And they're okay.
Pod, it looks like his sign-off from the show is like looking and going like, hey, audience.
Really good.
I'm about to get some with two women.
And two.
Which is a great send-off for his character. Send-off. I'm very happy. I didn't expect he would be the one that... He's basically getting the happy ending I thought Grey Worm would get.
Grey Worm's not getting that happy ending.
Didn't he look really, really... You know, he is on a vengeance now. So what happens to him and how he responds to his girlfriend, you know, being beheaded will be very, very interesting to see.
I think he's going to go on a suicide mission.
Warpath. Yeah. Absolute. You know, suicide, Warpath. I'm on the attack mission.
And it's not going to go well for him.
No.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
The only way to Cersei at this point in time is not through, not over. They have to go under. They have to go under to all the different little tunnels and whatnot underneath King's Landing. It's the only way.
Well, you still got to get over the mountain. So I think it's pretty cool that you've got Hound and Arya teaming up again. That's my favourite pairing from the show, and seeing them head back together. Completely different people, but you know the Hound. We're finally going to get Clegane Bowl. He's going to fight the mountain in order so that Arya can get past. Whether Jaime's still in the mix at that point or not, I don't know.
You know how he left, he said, you know, I'm very hateful, but he didn't say hateful towards who. So I think, you know, him and Cersei. He could be gunning for Cersei as well.
I think so. There have been a lot of prophecies talked about on the show, and none of them have come to light other than ones really dealing with Cersei. So I think this whole she has to die by younger brother. I actually thought about this, right?
Okay.
So Jaime works, definitely. Tyrion works. If Jaime and Cersei have had this kid together, what's the weird relation? Like, it's... It'd be son or daughter, but isn't there technically an element of brother or sister in that incestuous mix of a child as well? So could this child kill her in childbirth and still fulfill that prophecy? I don't know. Maybe that's weird.
Because I still want that child if it does get to the I'm about to give birth to a child thing. Because she wasn't showing much. But I would like to see it look like Tyrion. She hates Tyrion because of who he is.
That would mess her up.
I still want that to happen. But we've got so many people wanting to kill her now, including Grey Worm, obviously Daenerys, maybe not Varys at this point. I don't know what he's on about.
He's Sansa for the people. As well. He's my favourite.
You love him at the moment?
I've always been on his side because he's kind of...
Tommy just switches too much for me, mate.
But see, I don't think he does switch. I think he represents like the democratic ideal. And he would be the one that would put forward the idea of a council of he's there to represent the people. He doesn't give a shit who the leader is. Once they become a bad choice for the people, he wants them out. So I can, in a really cold bureaucratic light, I appreciate his slimy nature. And at least he's open about it. Like Littlefinger was a prick about it and stabbed people in the back. Varys is quite open with the... If I don't support you anymore, I'm going to go and tip off the bad guys or whatever it is.
I think...
Jeez, no one can keep a secret on that show, can they? Jeez, you know, don't tell no one, but within a couple of seconds, out it comes.
Exactly what and Sansa wanted.
Three or four people will know. Soon 120 people will know. So that was the...
What Sansa's main motivation was? Was it Jon or was it vengeance because she just doesn't like Daenerys? Or is it something else? Is it a Littlefinger sort of thing where she's obviously thinking several steps ahead of everybody else? Because she could have not told Tyrion, but she did because she knew what it would lead to. But where is she seeing that chess move?
Well, she's become much more of a strategic player, hasn't she? I mean, she did say, look, you know, don't go now because your army needs resting, etc. And they went against that sort of like advice. And look what it ended up in, you know. It ended up in a lot of carnage.
I think there's also the element that she would be quite happy for the North to secede from the South after all this is done. She doesn't want to be ruled by that. And I think her two situations are either John is in charge, which means she can make the calls up north and separate them off, or that there needs to be some sort of union between the two, so it's a shared power balance, and they, you know, the North can still do. I think she's just completely concerned about the North and her family.
The part that I sort of didn't come to fruition at all for me last night was, you know, Bran. I thought there'd be a sort of the next step of Bran, who I'm calling to be evil.
Yeah, you think there's more to come?
More to come on that, but hasn't come out yet. So it needs to happen the last two episodes if that sort of like theory comes to fruition as well.
I think we have to see more of Bran because the audience is so invested in his magical qualities. We still don't quite understand him. He keeps telling us, I'm not a Stark anymore. This is exactly what I am.
But what is he?
What is he and why? Why for the end of the show?
And the way the Night King died the week before, it didn't sort of come to, you know, it was a nothing, you know, it was a, you know, a remarkable way that he got killed. But we never learnt anything more about that alignment between Bran and him. So I think that has to happen. And I think Bran is the Night King, and he goes back, and he's the first person that becomes the Night King, if you know what I mean. You know, by the Children of the Forest. Mm-hmm. So that'll be very interesting to see what happens there.
There's a lot of theories.
He did say there was a foreshadowing. He did say, I'm all about the past.
Exactly.
So there might be something to that.
There's another theory going that it's called the Blood Raven theory, which is the idea that when Bran was originally up with the last three-eyed crow, or three-eyed raven, that guy was getting him to warg across different into the past as well as Hoda in the present and in the past. So it split his consciousness across several things. And then when the crow died, he was able to force himself inside Bran, and so he's kind of supplanted Bran's personality and will.
So he's two people.
Yes, and Bran is submerged within this guy who maybe the Night King wasn't all that bad and was coming to try and take out this guy who's actually been the puppet master all along.
If that is a theory, how does it get resolved in two episodes, I wonder?
Oh, it's not. That's not going to be it. It's just,
I think we discover how Bran become, or how the Night King or the Bran or that combination all came to be.
Mm.
I think there's still enough interest in that part of Game of Thrones for them to give us a little more. I know it feels at this point in time like that whole bit's done, but I think so many people enjoyed theorizing, coming up with, you know, these amazing theories where make ridiculous things happen, and now suddenly it's back to reality again. And I kind of feel there'd be a big portion of the audience who would like to see a bit more.
I think the fact that we have potentially three Game of Thrones spin-off series is going to address those.
Okay.
One of those that
has
said
to be
is,
the past.
Yeah, one of those they've said is going to be way back when. So that could very much address the Night King's origin, the Children of the Forest, and perhaps even have Bran wandering around in that series as well.
Oh, he'd have to be wandering around in that, wouldn't he?
You'd hope so. It's a missed opportunity. If he's going to be wandering around back then, can he walk or is he still in the chair if he's not himself?
He's always walked in the visions,
yeah,
where he's gone back.
But if he's going back for to live that out, I don't know.
Do you remember there was a little moment with the Stark family, and it was with Tyrion, sorry, and he was talking about the wheelchair, and he said, yeah, this is like the one that someone
120 years ago
a Targaryen had. Yeah, I like that. So that might be addressing a prequel.
Yep.
So what happens next week in the battle scene, you think?
Look, I don't think it's going to go well.
I think doesn't go well at the start, and I think Daria and Harris and the Second Sons come in from nowhere.
Yeah.
From nowhere, like the Battle of the Bastards.
Like the Vale showing up.
Yep, absolutely. Sure. Like the Battle of the Bastards, and they come in and just absolutely, obliterate everyone at that point in time.
PK, I really like this idea because we've been left at the end of this episode with thinking that Daenerys literally
has
no one. No one's with her. And these people were with her and were along, you know, they were her posse for...
And he professed his love for her and was absolutely devastated when she didn't take him along. So he's been left out there somewhere, and I think he comes in sweeping in from the sea. And
please have it. Would I Yara? Want him to have elephants.
Wouldn't that be great?
Do you think Yara might be the one transporting them?
Oh,
that explains.
She shows it because they made a big point of her retaking the Iron Isle. The other ones I'll say is they mentioned Dawn.
They did mention Dawn.
They haven't mentioned Dawn since I think season 5.
The new Prince of Dawn. I don't know who he is, but
yeah, who is this bloke?
That, you know, there's some potential allies that could come in. I really like Daria though.
I think that's a solid idea. I was thinking of that last night, and I said, who's left that loves her and is loyal to her still? Like, she's lost her, you know, best friend, lost her knight, lost so many people along the way. The other people, the Sevaris and Tyrion, are sort of, you know, going away from her more and more and more.
She's got Grey Worm.
Grey Worm, yeah, who's on a, you know, on a suicide mission for sure next week.
Yeah, he's going to just completely demolish those Unsullied that are left, or because he. Oh, I really like that, PK. That gives me hope. I was feeling very sad and sorry for Daenerys. I know that they want us to believe that she's going to become the Mad Queen, which is. That would be, you know, history repeating itself. Mm. But we have lived with this character since the very beginning. We have watched her progress. We have seen her motivations. They've not always worked. She's often done the wrong thing, but her drive and her destiny, what she believes her destiny, I just don't think as an audience we could watch her go into a Mad Queen and become the villain at the end. I think she may go mad, she may die, but I think she has to die a hero.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much turning her to the villain. I think it's taking her on a tragic arc. And I think, falling into the genetics that's hardwired into her isn't so much turning a villain. That's the other part of her destiny.
I mean, I don't think anyone would sort of have stayed calm after what she went through last night and, you know, leading up to it. So many people that she's been around, she's lost everyone.
Mm.
So
she's mad, not as in crazy, as in angry. That look on her face.
Oh. I will say there was one moment that I thought was legitimately mad, which was legitimizing Gendry, because she just gave someone else authority to challenge her for the throne.
She announced him, didn't she? Son of Robert Baratheon. So,
and as a lord with a title and a heritage, he now has a claim to the throne. That was not.
It
I know she thought she was
starts
being.
Starts again.
Well, she thought she was being very, very clever there, and like, oh, look at me politically manoeuvring. No,
yeah,
that's another threat.
Would Gendry do it though?
No,
not in 2 episodes.
But if both Jon and her die, then Gendry does it.
Yep.
So who's the green eyes in the prophecy
that she has to close?
Yeah,
Cersei.
Cersei's got green eyes, doesn't she?
So's Dany.
Sure.
So's Dany.
Well, I can.
I don't see how that comes to be, but there's theories going on around that she takes out Dany.
If she does take out Dany with the dagger and the dagger comes out on fire, all is forgiven. I will forgive everything not coming to pass the way that this show has been building to for years. If she stabs Dany and that sword comes out on fire, all good.
What do you reckon Dany's chances of surviving wildfire is? There's still wildfire under King's Landing.
Mm.
Is Cersei just going to go, I might just...
Nuke the place?
Yeah. She's done it before.
And, you know, you hate your people. They hate you.
Daenerys,
I mean, there's
is
not
coming
much
in.
Of a tie there, is there?
Daenerys walks through wildfire and says, it's all right, guys. I've got you.
And then Jaime jumps up and stabs her. Not Dany, stabs Cersei.
All right. I was like, oh, we're all stabbing Dany.
Well, that's how he became the Kingslayer originally, was because... over a fight over wildfire. So bringing it back around again.
I like that.
Do you reckon he takes that shiny fist off when he climbs into bed?
You'd have
with her?
To, right? You oh, know. With her. I just thought you meant in general. Like,
not
you'd
with
have
Cersei.
To take it off.
Cersei would be like, leave it on. She wants that on. But I'm saying with Bren, where he's like, this shirt's too hot. Oh, that old trick works every time. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm so hot. Oh, now my pants
I wasn't
are
expecting that last night. I wasn't expecting that.
No?
What did you think about it if you weren't expecting it? Were you happy?
I was happy.
Uncomfortable?
Happy. Towards the end, you know, when he left her, then I said, you know, she was really devastated. You know, your first love, you know, waiting for it all, for so long, and just gets up and mounts the horse and leaves.
His story couldn't have ended there, though.
No. A lot more to play with him.
Yeah, maybe not so much with Brienne, though.
Do we see further of her? I mean, let me rephrase that. Apart from dealings with Sansa, do we have any further storyline left for Brienne? Or do you think that's the end? She finally opened herself up and she's been slapped down again.
I feel like that might be the end.
Yeah.
Although I did feel like when she became knighted, that was the end for her as well.
That's very true.
So maybe she is just one of the characters that does survive. Cause
does survive and becomes, you know, sort of the hand or the protector of one of the, you know, maybe Sansa.
Mm. So Dracarys mm-hmm. being said at the end there.
Mm.
I'll admit I was disappointed because I thought she was going to say that and then grab Cersei and jump.
Oh!
I thought she was going to try and take out Cersei at that moment. But maybe the mountain chains. Would have lent...
Tried. Even if she tried.
Yeah, throw him over Cersei's head and just fall back. I sat there thinking, oh, this is going to happen. They're going to fall down next to Tyrion. And Tyrion's going to go, ooh, and like run backwards quickly.
Daenerys, I did it. But I'm sorry, I killed your friend at the same time.
But look, even if that had happened, Mountain probably could have reached out and grabbed as they went or something. They could have stopped it, but I thought...
She didn't die with any heroism. You know, I think her character should have shown some fighting quality.
There's a phrase used in comic books where a girlfriend is killed in order to make tragedy for a main character. It's called fridging. It's killing the girlfriend and leaving her in the fridge, leaving the chopped up body parts. And that's what they did there. There was no reason for her to die other than to piss off Danny 0.3% more and make Grey Worm upset.
Yeah.
And Grey Worm, his face said it all, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that her, you know, saying light everything up, do you think that that's telling us that that's what's going to happen, or do you think that's them wanting, the writers wanting us to believe that's what's going to happen?
I think it's just saying to your mate, fuck them up, hey.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go full nuke.
I think it's just, you know, flick the switch to 11. Let's do this.
Do you know how I'd like to see Cersei die?
Slowly?
Yeah, but with everybody who's after her all scrambling to get at her first. So it's like a slow-mo, it's a montage with probably the Night King music going on, you know, and they're all running and, you know, someone's trying to get up underneath, someone's killing the mountain in order to get to her, you know, there are people elbowing each other and then she just gets stabbed multiple times by multiple people.
So we don't know who the killer
we
was.
We don't know who the actual killer was because everybody's over her body.
Oof.
There's so many people who are after her.
Well, if we're coming up with big ideas like that, we saw one shot of Euron looking very, very nervous on the boat. You notice I say his name now is just Euron. I know Euron.
I mean, he's been an epic fighter, but really unlikable in every sense of the word. Probably one of the most unlikable characters.
Well, they needed a new Ramsay Bolton. There's that one shot of him looking up very nervous.
And we heard the dragon.
Yes.
So, why is he scared of the dragon if he's got crossbows?
Okay.
Tom, theory.
So, the proper answer would be because she's flying straight down and the crossbow can't point straight up. But the more fun answer would be in Dragonstone, maybe she found a bunch of more eggs. She's hatched these eggs and she's shown up with a fleet of baby dragons and they can fly in between.
That's a theory that's doing, you know, when Daario Naharis comes along, he comes actually with more dragons as well.
We're
sort of speculating wildly, but that's the possibility that he comes with his fleet, four or five other dragons, and then they know they're really, really fried.
And burn it all down.
I'd be sad when the last dragon goes. So it'd be nice to know that there are extras hanging out.
Well, if Drogon goes and Ghost has gone,
Nymeria.
Well, apart from the direwolves. All everyone from the Lord of Light is gone. All the magic's gone.
You've got Daenerys.
And Bran.
She's magic and Bran. Magic.
Anyone else? It seems that Pod has a magic tackle. But I don't think there's too much magic left in the world.
Mm.
I think it's all getting pushed out.
That's a shame.
It is.
What do you like to do on cold wintry nights? Does it match up with what Sam likes to do?
Wasn't that trying to explain how the baby comes around? What was that about?
Like how she's like, thanks, John understands.
I think he knows. I think he gets the picture.
Is that the last time we see them?
I don't know about Sam. I think for Gilly, yes. Surely the show's got to end with Sam writing this all down in a book and turning the camera and going, I'm George R. Martin. Something like that.
He's the narrator of the
story. I would love that.
Yeah. I thought that was a really nice way to be like, yeah, look, there's... potential here. You know, yes, we've killed half the population last episode, but there's still that chance for rebirth and continuation. And, you know, the North may have lost a lot of sons and daughters right now, but it's it sounds like it's going to be cold for a while, and they've got their favourite activity to do. And Craster is not giving out babies as White Walkers anymore.
That's true. He's given that up due to the fact that he died. I also did notice that Varys mentioned the fact that there are millions on Westeros, because at this point in time, I've been convinced as the only people still alive are the only people we see. Because it feels like a very empty world.
And they move very, very quickly. It's 400 miles from Winterfell to King's Landing.
It took a whole series for them to travel that far.
It took Arya 3 years of wandering around to get to Winterfell.
Yeah.
And now, a couple of times an episode.
Just has a quick walk. But showing that King's Landing had changed and they were all crossbowed and ready for action, I think was their way of showing that there has been a time, that there has been time between.
Sure.
But at the same time, it wasn't long for that Battle of Winterfell to happen.
Single night for the long night.
Yeah, and how long were they getting ready for? A day or two?
Yeah, not too long. Should have built a lot more trenches. If you're interested, there's some very interesting articles about the military prowess and lack displayed last week.
Yeah, right.
I read a lot of articles from actual military strategists.
Exactly. Opposite thing to do for the Dothraki, just the charge there, you know, like, you know, absolute charge and be all the fire extinguished in a matter of like 11 seconds. You say, oh, they went quick.
Yeah. Okay. Cavalry is for pincing.
Yeah.
Get him from the side, hem your opponent in.
Yeah, it's the pawns that you just go straight ahead, not the horse. The knights, or they're not knights, but cavalry.
The Dothraki have got very little out of all this, haven't they? I mean, they
bugger
go
all.
Bugger all. They've got no one for the throne. They've just gone to a new land and have been slaughtered. Like,
and it's cold.
And cold too.
They don't wear clothes. They wear a bit of fur and stuff, but they're about no possessions. So what do they care about who's in charge, really, of these lands?
They made grave mistakes hanging out with her. I must say, just quickly, we're talking about Battle of Winterfell. I watched the episode for a second time and it did make way more sense.
Sure.
It was very confusing.
It was. You had to watch it a second time.
It's much clearer. You get a better idea of what's going on and who's where, how they have arrived at certain places. And I am now convinced that Jon with the Ice Dragon was distracting the Ice Dragon.
Totally correct. The Ice Dragon went in, was there guarding the wood, so no one could interrupt what the Night King was going to do with Bran. Jon had a couple of goes to go out after it, never managed to, and at the end when he saw Arya coming, he jumps in there to sacrifice himself or stop the Ice Dragon from getting her. She sort of leaps through or sneaks through, you know, as light as a... and goes straight at the Night King.
Yeah.
And he's going, go, go, go.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. It's so obvious the second time around, isn't it?
But when you first time you watch it, you get you don't get to appreciate that at all.
Sure.
No, definitely worth another watch if you were a bit confused.
You were quite insistent when you hit me up afterwards, like, yeah, this is much, much better the second time.
So much more clarity in my head as to what happened. I don't think I need to watch this episode again in the same way. I think it was a little more straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
When I mean straightforward, what they're holding back intentionally, and I will never get it because there'll be no context to the little foreshadowing that they're giving.
So we've got two plus-size episodes left, and one of them clearly looks like it's going to be a big, big, big battle.
Yeah.
We've had various cast members, a few of them claiming that this is bigger than the Battle of Winterfell, which, okay, could potentially be the case. But they spent 2 years hyping Battle of Winterfell versus 2 weeks of this.
We'll be able to see a lot more of this one, I think.
I sure hope so. It looks like it's going to be well lit, maybe daytime.
Daytime.
And then we'll probably have one episode for wrapping up and putting some nice bows. Of course, it could be a big swerve of we have this massive battle and then the final episode is all treachery and backstabbery to see who's left.
I think that's what happens, Tom.
I think so as well.
It's what Game of Thrones is about.
But on this final ramp up, who are we still hoping to check in some small way? Maybe a face in the crowd, but who's that one background character that you want to know they're okay, what their trajectory is?
I wouldn't mind seeing Mr. Hot Pie again.
Mm-hmm. See how his bakery is doing?
Yeah, just happy. He's got a bakery. He's got customers.
He's probably not bothered by all this throne nonsense.
No.
Not fussed.
Varys did indicate a lot of people couldn't care less who the leader is. Yep. So,
PK. I have to think about that one, Tom. I haven't got all one right. readily readily in mind at the moment?
For me, I think it would be Sir Ponce, who was Tommen's cat. You remember he had that small cat that knocked around in King's Landing. It would always disappear by itself for a while. I can't remember what happened to that cat. I'm hoping it's still all right.
I reckon it's just taken off. I don't want to be Cersei's cat.
But maybe a cat will get barbecued.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be about as upsetting as not saying goodbye to such a good doggo like Ghost. I think people would be just as upset.
Yeah, I'm already pre worried and sad about the death of Drogon. Forgot which one was which.
Rhaegal is dead. Viserion is dead.
Mm.
The character I wouldn't mind seeing again is that the one that was Edmund Tully married, and he looks at her and looks at her. She was a. You know, he looked at it, it's my lucky day. Yeah, like, he looked at it, woo, and then you see it, that's it. I wouldn't mind seeing where they ended up as well.
Very good.
They're hanging out somewhere going, thank goodness we're not down there in King's Landing.
I don't think they've left the honeymoon suite.
It's so busy. All right, shall we do a little bit of a quiz?
Oh, can we?
I'm going to get the listener Game of Thrones quiz questions.
Are these the ones still locked in the glass perspective?
Yeah, that I forgot.
I'm not allowed to peek. These things get tucked away between weeks inside a lockbox.
Yeah, and let's see how we go, because it's not necessarily to do with any of the later episodes. It's just Game of Thrones quiz questions in general.
Sure.
What's the name of Roose Bolton's wife?
Pass.
Starts with a W, of course. Think of Where's Wally, but the US version, and then make that name a female.
Walder.
Wow.
Walder was her name. How does Selyse die? Baratheon, the wife. Do you remember? It's a blur to me as well. I'll give you a clue. She does it herself, I think.
Was it wine in the bath or something?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
No, there's a tree involved.
Hanging?
Hanging. Hanged herself? Hung herself? Hanged?
I didn't realise we were doing the wife edition today.
All right, well, let's mix it up a bit. Who created the White Walkers?
The Children of the Forest.
Yeah, that's it. It was to do with
Dragonglass in the chest.
Yeah, in the chest they were battling of a first man.
Humans?
Battling humans. They want to create the Night King out of a human. That's why I think it's Bran going back in time. That's my theory, but
I like it, though. We've already answered this one, but I'll say it anyway. What's the name of Arya's wolf? Direwolf, I should say.
Nymeria.
Mm-hmm. And finally, this one's a hard one. I didn't remember this, but what's the surname given to bastards in The Reach? So you've got Snows, you've got whatever Gendry was, I can't remember.
Of the river.
Sky.
River is Gendry.
Think landscaping.
Sand?
Think dirt. Horticulture.
Dirt. Soil.
Things that grow out of it.
Weed, plants.
They look pretty.
Flowers.
Yeah. Flower.
There you go.
I did not remember that.
No.
I reckon that's probably one that's book only.
Yeah, I don't recall that being on the show.
I doubt they would have gone into detail about that.
And there's been a lot of fan love for Lady Mormont, hasn't there?
Yeah.
And the way she died and how heroic she was and the things that she stood for and how true she was, etc. But she died epically the episode before.
Hell yeah. That was a good.
I liked seeing her at the beginning of this episode. I was like, oh, lovely. Hey, PK, thanks so much for coming on.
Been my pleasure.
I've really enjoyed having you on because, man, those theories you've got. I'm so excited
now. I think every fan's got some theories on what's going to happen in the next two episodes. I mean, you can't have been watching it for this long.
I've got a lot of time for
without having a couple
yours.
Of, you know, but all I can say is a lot's got to happen in two episodes.
So much.
I'm overwhelmed. Tom, thank you very much.
Ta-ta.